When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are there other names for soaking? Yes, I've heard it called soaking, floating, marinating. Some people refer to it as docking, but I don't think that's what that really means.
Hi, I'm Madison Malone Kircher.
And I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it,
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
Okay, so Rachel, I was laying in bed the other night, as one does, watching TikToks.
As one does.
Yes, exactly. You know me. And I had a question pop into my head. I was watching a like multi-part saga from a woman who had like had a hair salon experience gone wrong. I don't know. She wanted a root smudge. They just could not give her the root smudge she wanted. It was like a really long story time.
I feel for her. I don't know what a root smudge is, but any kind of hair salon trauma, I feel deeply. But is this about hair?
No, it actually has nothing to do with hair. I also don't know what a root smudge is.
Okay.
During this multi-part saga, though, she is using TikTok's green screen feature, and she's talking in front of a background that I'm sure you have seen. It's like an alleyway full of balconies. It looks kind of European. The sky is blue. The buildings are white with like terracotta trim.
Yes, it's giving me very Mamma Mia. It's giving me Strut Like You Mean It. It's giving me Cheetah Girls. Yeah.
I proceeded to send myself a middle of the night email in all caps with a screenshot of it that just said, "Where is this?
Is this how you get all the ideas for our shows? Is just middle of the night email to yourself?"
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But truly, I have since become obsessed with finding out how this became the green screen background for storytelling on TikTok.
And did you find out why or how or where or who?
Okay, so I did a bunch of Google searches for things like where is TikTok Alley and TikTok green screen background ideas and TikTok green screen help, which turned up nothing. Nothing.
I was hoping that you got a help in there at some point.
Only frustratingly, a bunch of explainers, blogs walking me through how to use the damn picture. Because it is the thing that pops up first if you go to make a green screen video on TikTok. This alleyway is the thing that it puts behind your head.
But no one was telling you where or who or how.
No, but then a reverse image search leads me to an influencer named Idalia Salsamendi, who appeared to have literally lived my dream and gone to this alley. There's this video of her snapping her fingers and claiming to be in the alley, which she labels as La Palma del Condado in Spain.
Bringing TikTok's green screen to real life again. There you go. Welcome to Spain.
This alley that Idalia is in does look very similar to the...
Okay.
But no.
That's what you think. That's what you
that
think.
That is what I think. Every time I think anything on this show, you're just like, well, actually.
Well, actually.
Oh, God.
The buildings she's in front of only appear to have two floors, and the one on the TikToks have three. And also the metal balcony frames are different shapes, which, you know, maybe she's like on the street, but in a different spot. It's not a perfect match. I still needed more information, so I kept digging through my reverse image searches until I finally came to unsplash.com, which is... Would you care to explain unsplash.com?
I would love to explain unsplash.com. It is
a
royalty.
Unsplash.com.
Unsplash.com is a royalty-free image site that I am very familiar with as someone who has to build their own articles in our content management system, or CMS.
Come back.
Here's how journalism works, kids.
The important part of what Rachel just explained is that these photos are free, which is exactly where if I were working at TikTok and needed a generic stock photo, I would go. So I find this photographer named Inma Santiago, who appears to have posted the shot of the street. And she says that it is in Jerez de la Frontera in Spain. So a totally different location than what Idalia was saying. By my very unscientific Google mapping, the location appears to be 2 hours away by train.
So, case somewhat closed. I mean, I kind of feel like the only way to find out for sure is to go to Spain ourselves.
Agreed. I'm satisfied, but I could be más satisfied.
Well, while we wait for our expense request to get approved, we have got a really fun episode for y'all today. We're answering some of the burning questions that y'all have sent us. Once again, sappy moment, I am a Pisces. Y'all send us the best questions. Y'all are amazing. We love every single question that we get from you guys. And so we're going to answer some of them today. Questions about devious licks, soaking, the chair emoji, and more.
Before we get to those questions, however, you know them, you love them, and now they are back. That's right. We've got some high-speed downloads for you guys featuring sea lions, orcas, and Ben Platt. Oh my. For those of you who are new here, welcome. High Speed Download is a game Rachel and I play where we get exactly 60 seconds on the clock to explain a piece of internet ephemera, maybe a meme or a viral video or some ridiculous tweet, in as much detail as possible. If you don't like listening to people talk incredibly quickly, consider listening to this one on 0.5x speed because we're going to talk really, really fast. Rachel, I think you're up first today. What do you have for us?
I have the sea lion and orca of sea lion orca Ben Platt Oh My.
Yes.
This is a TikTok controversy that made its way over to Twitter. And as we know, intra-platform debate is our favorite on this show. If y'all are new here, I always make the mistake of having to read a bunch of tweets in a high-speed download, and I have made that mistake again today, so.
All right, quit making excuses. You got 1 minute on the clock. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay, this weekend username Nettable uploaded a video of a sea lion jumping on her book, and she was freaking the fuck out. She tells the lion, "You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get the fuck out of here." The sea lion is looking at her like, "Ma'am, please save me." She then turns the camera, and you see three orcas coming up towards her ship. The definition of "come outside, we won't jump you." In case you didn't know, though, orcas are also known as killer whales. They will fuck your shit up. They'll create waves to knock sea lions off of ice floes, capsize ships before. Literally, great white sharks are afraid of them. There's a term for how fucking scared they are called landscape of fear, where people, and by people I mean animals, will avoid going to the places they have been for years. So they're very scary. So now we know the sticks. Nettable posts a second video where the sea lion gets off the boat, presumably to its death. RIP sea lion. Twitter user Castro195 reposts this video, which is currently at 4.1 million views. This video divides the fucking internet. People are calling her Karen of the Sea because she just didn't take the sea lion to safety. Other people are saying, nah, but I'm not letting this fucking sea lion let me get fucked up. But orcas are further protected species, so you're apparently not supposed to start an engine near them, so she couldn't speed out of there. Or at least that's what she said. However, in the last video, you see that she turns her engine on as soon as the sea lion is off. So, like, what is the truth that gives?
Not Karen of the Sea.
Like, fuck Chicken of the Sea. We have Karen of the Sea now.
Rachel, as part of the time-honored rules of high-speed downloads, you do get one final say. What else do we need to know here?
Well, my heart is beating really fast, but that's not the critical information. The critical information is that the user, Nuttable, which is N-U-T-A-B-U-L-L, for anyone else who thought I was saying something else, they've been harassed so much that their TikTok account no longer exists. We should also probably play some of the video of Nuttable, which, while her TikTok account is gone, nothing is ever gone on the internet, so several people re-uploaded this to Twitter.
You need to go. I know you're suffering, honey. This is how the world works. Oh, boy.
She's talking to the sea lion in that video, who is looking at her with, like, the most plaintive face I've ever seen on an animal. It is... It's honestly sad, because you know he's dead. Like, you know he's dead.
It's the circle of life.
Literally. Like, that is half the comments just being like, I am not about to be at the bottom of the food chain.
Man, everybody saw Blackfish once and just had
they
feelings.
Saw Free Willy and were just like, clearly these orcas are going to be fine. But killer whales, I don't know, man. I would also get out of there. Like, I really feel like Nuttable did what she needed to do. All right. Madison. It's your turn. What do you have for us? And are you ready?
I also have a landscape of fear, but it has nothing to do with orcas. It has everything to do with a high school.
Oh, that is a landscape of fear.
I told no lies.
So are you ready to take us to this landscape of fear about Dear Evan Hansen?
I have been training for this my whole life.
All right, you have 1 minute on the clock. Ready, set, go.
Dear Evan Hansen is a Tony Award-winning musical turn movie by Pesek and Paul. Whoa, this is the greatest show! It's also kind of a fucked up story. If you don't know it well, Evan Hansen is a shy, anxious kid who accidentally ends up pretending to have been secret BFFs with a kid who dies, and then he dates the dead kid's sister, and obviously the lie eventually implodes, but not before Evan goes viral. Evan Hansen was originated on Broadway by Ben Platt, who won the Tony for his performance at age 23, and I'm not gonna lie, I cried. He was 23, playing a high school senior. Okay, sure, why not? We let the guy who played Miley Cyrus's brother in Hannah Montana on Disney Channel do that, and he was like 40. That's probably an urban legend I should have fact-checked, but I know he was old. Ben Platt is reprising his role for the film, and it's been 5 years, so he's 28, which is to say he looks like a nearly 30-year-old man, because he is. And a lot of people, me, are not buying him as a high school senior. Also, sorry, but movies are way less fucking forgiving than a Broadway stage in terms of age passing. Platt was a little salty about people being mean. His dad, for what it's worth, is producing the movie. Ben, it's fine if you wanted to star in the movie. Just say you didn't want to be on the outside looking in. That's fine. This sparked a very funny fake Hollywood Reporter story by at Wyatt Duncan on Twitter claiming that a de-aged version of the film was going to be released on streaming platforms. It's a very convincing fake, but this is not true. We are not getting Dear Evan Hansen the Irishman. Instead, we are getting Dear Evan Hansen, but he's extremely prepubescent. Post-pubescent. Fuck. Instead. So close.
Dear Evan Hansen, but the Irishman is. All right, Madison, do you have one more thing you would like to say?
Do I ever? So as I said, we are not getting Dear Evan Hansen, the Irishman, but I would like to, in a slower pace, just shout out at Wyatt Duncan, who made the fake Hollywood Reporter story claiming that they were going to de-age Ben Platt for the streaming release. It was such a good fake.
It was such a good fake that I, an internet culture reporter,
Rachel,
who should be able to spot both misinformation and deepfakes, thought it was real until I looked into the comments and someone was like, this is fake. And I was just like, damn, they got me.
Very fake. We are getting but one Dear Evan Hansen, and he's extremely post-pubescent, a la Kanicki from Greece, and you just got to go with it. A phenomenon we will now be referring to henceforth as Kanicki's Law.
Oh, Madison, I got to say, sometimes your puns, I hate them, but this one, I don't think it's a pun, but I like it. I like this bit of wordplay.
While we're discussing the terms of Kanicki's Law, I just want to be very clear that this does not, has never, and will never apply to Stalker Channing.
Oh, never. There are worse things I could do. A bop. An absolute banger.
And now that a banger has been declared, we're going to take a quick break, catch our breath, use our inhalers, worship at the altar of Stalker Channing. And when we come back, we're going to answer some of your burning questions. Primarily, one that so many of you asked about a weird, sounds judgy, let's say interesting Mormon sex trend. Alleged sex trend.
More on that after the break.
More on that after the break.
Hey, I'm Doris Day.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
Okay, we are back with another edition of, drumroll, Read Receipts.
Yes, we are back with another edition of Read Receipts, where we prove that we are reading all the great questions that you send us and try to come up with some answers.
No. We're not proving that we're reading them. We're proving, Rachel, that we have read them. Read Receipts.
I want to see the receipts.
Our first question comes from @SunnyBroccoli on Twitter, who says, what's the deal with the chair emoji? I feel like I blinked and missed something.
I gotta say, Sunny Broccoli, I also blinked and missed this.
I blinked and then I blinked again and I didn't miss it. So here's the deal. The chair emoji, in case you haven't used it or you have an Android, is what it sounds like. It's a literal tiny chair made of brown wood, like a basic desk chair. And you may have seen it popping up all over the place, probably on TikTok in the comments section, in a reactionary way that just doesn't seem right. Like, why are people using the chair emoji here? That's a good reaction. That's a correct assessment, because the chair emoji is no longer being used to mean a literal chair. You with me?
I am. But what is it being used for? What does it mean?
@blank.antho on TikTok posted a video to his over 1 million followers earlier in September, saying that they were all going to be part of this big inside joke. They were going to replace the cry laughing emoji, so the one with the tears and the laughter, with the chair emoji.
If you're seeing this, you're part of the inside joke. The joke is, whenever someone says something funny, instead of using the laughing emoji, just use a chair. And under every post, just pretend like it's the most hilarious thing you've ever seen.
And then, @blank.antho, whose real name is Anthony Mai, sent his followers off to comment it on KSI's TikToks. Mm-hmm. KSI is a British YouTuber, rapper, guy who one time boxed Logan Paul, if that rings any bells for you.
Unfortunately, it does.
It's kind of a genius growth hack. This is Anthony Mai's thing. He asks his followers to, spam comment sections with his own handle, and he designs these inside jokes on TikTok as an engagement strategy. First he'll tease videos being in 3 days, the inside joke will begin. Don't miss it. Check back.
Wow. This is really smart.
Yeah. So the short answer, @SunnyBroccoli, is that the chair emoji just means that something is funny or that you are a fan of Anthony Mai. As is the death of all memes, TikTok even put the chair emoji in its bio. So the joke is not fun now.
The brands, they're at it again.
Anthony, however, says he has a new inside joke cooking for October 1st. So we'll see what's next.
Well, I feel like I learned a lot.
I cherish these conversations.
The warm, fuzzy feeling I just had immediately left.
Rachel, what do you have next for us out of the mailbag?
Next up, we have a question from, this is my favorite thing in the world, someone whose screen name is The Estate of Hippo King Archibald. A+ work.
Hey, ICYMI. I'm wondering if you would do an episode on the devious likes trend. This really feels like one of the first full-blown moral panics on TikTok, and I'm really curious about how it evolved. I'm also wondering what some of the real-life consequences were, but also what if it may have been overblown? It seems possible that some of this was just kids lying on TikTok, but also a lot of it feels really real.
It sounds like a sex thing, I'm not gonna lie.
That's coming later.
But Devious Licks is teens being teens. Let's just preface that. Basically, a devious lick is referring to when someone steals property from a school. So it could be as small as a pair of scissors, could be big as a sink. What? And I'm not joking. I think that some of these children are training to be plumbers. But basically, according to the website Know Your Meme, which, shout out to Know Your Meme, love y'all. The trend took off in September, which makes sense because that's when the school year starts. On September 1st, a TikToker whose handle is Jug for Elias posted a video of himself taking just like a box of like disposable masks from his backpack with the caption, "A month into school, absolutely devious lick, should have brought a mask from home." This continues.
Okay.
On September 6th, someone took a hand sanitizer dispenser from his backpack. On September 7th, someone stole a microscope, which those bitches are expensive.
And heavy. Like,
yeah, no, I'm really...
Carry from the base. It's heavy.
No, I'm not encouraging this. I am impressed. These videos gained between like 7.2 million views and like 200,000 views. And I'm sorry to describe them to you, but they don't exist anymore because on September 16th, TikTok said this kind of content violates community guidelines. So most of the OG devious licks are lost to the internet.
But nothing's ever really lost to the internet, right?
No, it's not, because as per usual, the kids, they are all right. And by all right, I mean they are just misspelling the word devious to collect their devious licks, which I don't... Do you know how many ways there are to misspell the word devious?
As a just infamously bad speller myself, I am well aware.
Yeah, there are a lot. There are also some really funny ones that just say things like, just hit the most diabolical lick of the century, and then just them stealing some toilet paper, like a little bit of the Scott toilet paper and sticking in their pocket.
Do like teachers, does the administration at these schools know what's up?
Madison. So much shit is getting stolen that an outgrowth of the devious licks trend is just videos of people recording their principal yelling over the intercom.
We do not have the resources to call each of your parents and tell them what you're doing. So from now on, we will be removing the doors from the hinges on the bathrooms. Girls and boys, this is completely unacceptable, and this is the only recourse we have.
Look, I understand how the bathroom might have been a conduit for devious licks, but I think that really underestimates the ingenuity of youth.
Oh, if you 100%. Think, I legitimately think because the bathroom is theoretically the only place where administrators aren't present all the time, that the easiest solution is to just take the doors off the bathrooms. But come on, this isn't going to stop shit.
Okay, Rachel, so devious licks. Walk us through the etymology here.
So I think we are witnessing two things coming together, converging, as one might say. Hit a lick is basically means to steal something, gain something of value illegally. And then devious, I mean, I feel like I shouldn't, like, you know.
Yeah, that's the literal
okay,
part.
Yeah. So I think that we're just witnessing a new term emerge out of one that already existed. And so devious lick now refers to this very specific phenomena of stealing something from a school.
So, like, I'm at a cast party with the cast of Grease from my high school, and we're at a Denny's, and we steal spoons. That's not a devious lick. It's just a misdemeanor.
No, I think that's... Yeah, I think that's just minor theft.
Cool. Hypothetically, of course. Which leaves us with one final burning question from the ICYMI guys.
Y'all really came through on this one. And I would like to say for the record that we are not actually a podcast about weird Mormon sex things. Interesting. Sorry, don't want to be judgy. But we will answer this question. We got sent this tweet or one of the tweets I'm about to read to y'all, by Virginia, Hugh, Eduardo, Unfortunate Sparklings. Love that screen name. So it all started with a tweet from at Mattis Bear that reads simply, "I'm sorry, what?" in caps. Great start. The tweet is in fact a screenshot from TikTok of a girl jumping on a bed. And on the screen, the caption reads, "When your bestie is called to soak in a BYU dorm and you have to jump hump for her." Someone then responds, "Can you translate this into English, please?" At which point, at Slippish responds, "Some Mormon teens have convinced themselves that putting a penis in a vagina and then not moving is not sex. That's called soaking. Jump humping is when you get someone to jump on the bed next to you, soaking to get some friction going without you technically causing the movement."
I refuse to believe that any of this is real.
Yeah, it boggles the mind.
The funny thing here is we actually had an answer to this question already in the can from a few months back when we did a follow-up interview with Danny, a former Mormon, an ex-mo, who had a lot of thoughts about the BYU Virginity Club. If you're new here, we did a really fun ICYMI PI investigation into this account that claims to be promoting the crusade of virginity at BYU.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This clip didn't make it into the episode, but it is the first thing that we thought of when we kept getting all of these DMs and replies. So without further ado, we're going to let Danny, once again, answer this question better than we ever could.
The poop hole loophole comes up, and then also soaking. I don't know if you guys have heard of soaking.
Oh,
anyway,
I am very familiar with this concept, but only because of TikTok.
Wait, what is... So hypothetically, if there was someone on this call who didn't know what that is, could you tell me what it is?
Oh...
Yeah, it's just like you have intercourse, but you don't move. So it's called soaking. Like there's no hip thrusting. So it supposedly doesn't count. But I mean, the reason that, the reason that these things pique my interest is because like they're not a thing. Like it's like, you know, like Mormons don't actually think that those things are okay. So that's probably, I don't know. I think it is weird to be like, a lot of stuff is wrong and dumb about Mormonism, especially like the concept of virginity and all of that. Like, and purity culture is like, you know, whatever. That stuff is dumb, but it is weird growing up Mormon and you still kind of get your heckles up. You're like, yeah, but like, no one thinks this, though. This is wild.
There you have it.
Thank you, Danny.
But there's actually discourse about this, isn't there?
Of course there is.
We can have nothing without discourse, TM. There's actually a TikTok from another ex-Mormon who claims that soaking is very much real.
"First and foremost, am I joking? No, I'm not joking. Soaking is 100% real. Take it from somebody who lived in Utah County for 20 years, was born and raised a Mormon, is a seventh generation Mormon, and was in the church for 25 years. Soaking is real. Mormons think it doesn't count as sex. No, not really. They know it's against the rules. They know it's bad. They know they shouldn't do it. Most of them eventually talk to their bishop about it. It's just something they do when they can't help it. And they justify it in the moment by saying it's not sex."
I mean, this doesn't actually seem to disagree with what Danny is saying, which is that Mormons know it's really sex. Like, it's not... No one is actually believes that this is not sex, which I think is the kind of point of tension here.
I'm sorry. I'm with Danny, who I choose to believe as our ex-mo expert, that this is not a thing. And that jump humping, which falls under the umbrella of soaking, is also not real. I think that's all the questions we have time for today. And in case it wasn't proof that we really like you guys, this episode almost certainly will not help convince TikTok that I am not a former Mormon. My plight continues. Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday. Please subscribe. It's free and the best way to make sure you never miss an episode. I promise. Actually, I don't like to make promises I can't keep. There might be more weird sex stuff on Saturday. You'll just have to come back to find out. Consider leaving us a rating and review in Apple Podcast. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod. In case this episode wasn't very clear, we take your DMs very seriously. Or you can also always send us an email. We are at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank are our editors. And Alicia Montgomery is executive producer of Slate Podcast. See you online.
Or in a landscape of fear. I told no lies.
No, you didn't. You like Abraham Lincoln. Oh, George Washington? Whatever.
Speaking of high school.
Clearly I didn't go. Anyway.